right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 856. I am Lisa Sheps, your host for the day, for this Christmas Eve day, and I am all alone today. You are listening to me on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live all around the world at KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
I'm a softie, I guess.
It is Wednesday, December 24th, 2025, Christmas Eve. On the show today, we have a very special show for Christmas. It actually has nothing to do with Christmas, but we're going to have a forum all about stage management in theater. And of course, we'll have a little bit of discussions with just me about the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Galveston, and Nassau, Bahamas, all the places I've lived. Stick with us. We're going to listen to this whole song, and it is from I Love My Wife, and it's called Lovers on Christmas Eve. Hi, everybody. It's Lisa Sheps. Thank you, Kim Simpson, for another wonderful international folk bazaar with all that wonderful Christmas international music. I, of course, am going to buck the system and not do a whole Christmassy show. I did play that song. And, of course, at the end of the show, we're going to play the 12 Days Till Christmas from She Loves Me. That is in a tribute to my lovely co-host, Nicole Shiro, who is out celebrating Christmas with her family. It's very lonely here in Co-op Radio Studios right now. Nobody's here, just us chickens. So today, as I said, we're going to have a forum. I gathered several stage managers together, and we just talked about stage management. As many of you know, or you may not know, my background is stage managing. I was fortunate enough to work all over the world, all over the country, and on Broadway as a stage manager. So that is my background, and that's what I know. So it's one of those jobs in theater that not a lot of people know what they do. As a matter of fact, you'll hear us talk about it during the forum. You don't hear from me very much, but you do hear from the others, and I will let you know who they all are. We have on the forum Astrid Ron Hell, Valerie Johnson, Mia Reyes Gomez, Bob Talaro, Stephanie Delk, and Sandy Frank. And this is a cacophony of stage managers, many of them local, some of them national, some have worked on Broadway. I was hoping to get my friend Jamie on, who was the production stage manager of a very large Lort A company called South Coast Repertory Theater in California, Long Beach, I believe. But that's it. So we're going to just jump right into this. This is 45 minutes of stage manager talk. So hopefully you'll love it. Hopefully you won't be bored. But let's, actually, I should probably make sure that it gets queued up right, and I can figure out, why this machine is rolling into the next number. So here it is. Here's our stage managers forum. All right, guys, I'm so thrilled. I've been talking about doing this since we have gone on the air 17 years ago. And one of the, lesser known jobs in theater is that of stage manager. My background is in stage management. That's where I got my start. And then all of our guests here are really great stage managers, either locally, nationally, or locally and nationally. We are recording this on Zoom. By the way, those are my dogs making the noise in the background. For those of you watching the Zoom, which is only us, you can see them every now and then popping up behind me. But for you on the radio, those are my dogs, and I can't stop them. Sorry. So we're just going to go around, and I'm going to call on y'all. If you can just tell me a little bit about yourselves, how you got into stage management, and maybe what do you love about it, and what don't you love about it? And then we'll talk. I'm going to mute my microphone while y'all talk, but let's start with Mia.
Oh, yikes. I get to go first. Yeah, my name is Mia. I've been doing theater for over 10 years now, which is quite some time because I'm 25. So big chunk of my life. Yeah, I started with UIL, the competitive theater in the state of Texas. That was how I started. I was an actor, as we all sometimes are at the very beginning. And then my senior year of high school, I had been doing community theater for a while. I'm from Laredo, so I was doing community theater in Laredo at that time. And my high school teacher was a stage manager, and he was like, do you want to assistant stage manage a Glass Menagerie with me, by Tennessee Williams? And I was like, sure, I don't know how to do that, so why not? And that's the first time I ever did stage management in any way. And I was like, this kind of rocks. And then I moved to Austin for school to study theater and just decided okay, if I don't get cast in a show, I'm still going to do one. So how can I get away with doing it? And stage managing is not super popular at the UT theater and dance department. There's a lot of shows and not enough stage managers. So they were like, sure, you can do it. Go ahead. And that's pretty much what I did all of college. And then very graciously in September of last year, Lisa was like, do you want to stage manage Ground Floor Theater Rights? And I was like, sure. And that was the first gig I got to do it here. And I've just been doing shows back to back since then. This is my first break since Lisa opened the door for me. So I'm very, very happy and very grateful. What was the question? What do I love about it?
What do you love about it?
I like being in charge. That's pretty fun. that's the truth. But it's fun to make a show happen without people knowing that you're making a show happen. I think that's pretty fun. It was kind of overwhelming as an actor to have all the attention. And I like it better when I can just watch the show happen, be like, awesome, that was great. And nobody know I was there. And I think the thing I don't like about it is it's a lot of hours. It's a big time suck. It's a big part of making it work. You got to dedicate the time, but it's a lot of time and there's only so many hours in the day. So that's me. That's my thoughts.
Indeed. I should tell our listening audience that your full name is Mia Gomez Reyes.
Yes.
So that everybody knows who you are. Val.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm Val Johnson. My theater journey started when I was a wee lad. I grew up in Houston and I was doing theaters, little community theater spots as kids. And then I performed mainly growing up. And then when I moved to Austin, I definitely wanted to find a home and theater just made sense for that for me. So I was trying to explore it. I knew I didn't want to perform anymore. And everyone was just so welcoming. And they asked if I've ever tried stage managing. I was like, no, what's that? Should I do it? And then I got sucked in and then I liked it. So that was 2017 that I started it. Mia, I agree. I like being in control. I like being in charge. Just freedom on stage for sure, performing. But there is a different level of structure and chaos that happens behind the scene that I do enjoy too. It's a secret magic that's happening. So I love being able to be part of that and be part of the creative chaos as much as possible. And then the thing I don't like is the creative chaos at the same time. I always say there's always one week that is just well, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. But to have that experience intensively and then to create something beautiful right after, it's so fun, and you get to see all those elements being a stage manager. So, yeah, that's why I love it.
Sandy Frank.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, let's see. Question was, I grew up in Florida, and I started doing theater probably my last year of high school, and it wasn't originally what I was going to study when I went to college, but I guess I learned, I went to a very small college and most everybody was in a sorority or fraternity and I didn't fit in there, but I realized theater was somewhere where everyone who doesn't fit in somewhere else fits in. And I actually know a lot of stage managers that I've spoken to that kind of felt the same way. I did start out trying to act. And after the first year, when I didn't get cast in really much of anything, I'm like, well, what else is there to do here? You know, what can I do to still be part of the show? And I was organized and bossy. So stage management just kind of fit my personality. And like, I think Mia said, you know, there's always availability, right? It's not the most loved job in the world necessarily, except by those of us that have found it and do it. So I stage managed in college. I was an apprentice for a year after that and got my equity card. And then after that 1 year apprenticeship, moved to New York City, where Lisa, I think, was the only person I knew in New York City. And she helped teach me how to like find a job, helped me find my first job in New York City. And then later also introduced me to corporate work and business theater events, which I still also do whenever I have the opportunity. Let's see. So yeah, I've been in New York a long, long, long time, working mostly here. I've done a little bit of regional theater and I've done some national tours and I've done corporate events all over the place. What I love about, well, I love theater. I love musical theater more than almost anything else. And I've only done like three plays. So I really very strong musical theater background. I love, besides just walking in the stage door, which every time I do it, I say thank you, you know, to myself. Like, I'm just so thrilled to be able to walk into a stage door, any stage door. But when you're in a Broadway theater and you are the person cueing the conductor to give the downbeat, I think that that is really like the most incredible moment, that it must be like a pilot when the plane lifts off the ground or giving, you know, helping deliver a baby. I don't know. It's just a magical moment for me to be the person that is starting it and running it. And it is a lot like a conductor, especially on a musical, you know, because you really, with the scene changes and things, you can really affect the timing of it all and help it go a little faster, slow it down a little. You know, you're, I mean, obviously working with a team, but I do love that moment. I find calling a show very thrilling, but I also just love putting it together. People think I'm crazy. I love tech. I think it's the most fun time because you're just, you know, putting everything you've been doing in the rehearsal studio for weeks that you're so tired of, like moving chairs around and fake scenery, and to actually finally be working with the real scenery and figuring out where it all goes and how to keep everybody safe and how to help everybody get their job done is, I really enjoy that. I really enjoy that. What I don't like, I'm not crazy about being the head of the complaint department, right? Like, that's kind of what the stage managers are. And I mean, who really wants to deal with an issue like, oh, somebody's burping in the dressing room and it's bothering the person that they sit next to? Like, really, aren't, you know, hopefully we're adults, but there's a lot of that I don't enjoy. And I don't, I've never been good at schmoozing. Lisa probably already knows this. I don't even know how we became friends because I'm terrible at schmoozing.
So not true.
I don't like that is an aspect of it, and probably any job in any situation. I've had very little work outside of a theater entertainment industry. So I imagine that that's everywhere and I don't really enjoy it or enjoy having to do it. But you know, I do my best.
It's part of the thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Stephanie Delk.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Delk. I started out as a performer. I still perform. I've been singing and watching musicals and performing in musicals since I was very small. And then started doing a lot more like serious drama theater during junior high and high school. And then when I moved to Texas during high school and was really involved with the theater program. I ended up going to school for music performance and business. And then when I moved back to Austin, I was working in children's theater, which is a really great way to perform, you know, a nice 40-minute show, high energy, and then you're out. But I was doing basically back-to-back children's shows, and then we were doing a show, and I was like, oh, I've got conflicts, and so they were like, okay, we're not going to cast you in that one, and I was like, oh, not cast, and so what do I do? What else can I do? And then they were like, oh, but we've got this other show. If you want to stage manage that show, it runs different dates, and I was like, I could do that. I could stage manage, and so I was stage managing children's shows, and then there was a group doing a Shakespeare show in the evenings, and they lost their stage manager, and they were like, so you're doing the children's show during the day, could you also come back and do the evening show and do this, that could you do that? And I was like, no, I could do that. And so and then I was like, you know what, I could stage manage, I don't have to do on stage all the time. And so that was somewhere in 2007 or 2008. And I've been stage managing mostly ever since. So I think the thing I like most, I like puzzles. And so stage management is often a lot of logic puzzles over and over again. So that's really fun to like get my brain around and be like, how can I fix this? How can I solve this problem? How do we make this all work together? And then one of the other things I really love about stage managing is being able to put in the work that helps actors and musicians do their best work, so they don't have to worry about everything, they just have to worry about going out there and doing their best job. So I like to use my position as stage manager to make things easier for them to do really good work, because everything that makes the show better reflects well on me, and I like that. And then the thing that I could use less of in stage managing, I don't like to babysit. And so when you get I've been really fortunate to have some amazing cast members who are just like, I'm here to do the work and I'm here to do it. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to call you. I'm going to let you know if I'm running late in the traffic and stuff like that. But then every once in a while, there's a couple people where you're just like, you're a grown up and I need you to get your schedule together and get here and be responsible and call me. Because if you don't call me like 5 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm a little concerned. It's probably traffic. When it gets to 15, I'm like, I got to recast the show. How am I going to recast the show? Who are we going to get on headset? And I'm just going to tell them the lines. How's that? So I don't like to babysit, but otherwise everything else is part of the work.
That's great. Bob Tamaro.
Hello, everyone. I didn't get started until graduate school. I was doing graduate work at the Dallas Theater Center, which was the graduate school of Trinity University out of San Antonio. And I was also into directing and acting, but I kind of enjoyed watching the stage manager, and I got curiosity got to me. So because they had a revolve at the Dallas Theater Center, and I saw the stage manager took a little rheostat like this, and he moved the entire revolve, and he could change the speeds of it and everything. I said, oh, that's really kind of cool. So I would sit there like a little kid and watch the stage manager work, and I kind of fell in love with it as well. So I was very lucky along the way to start doing more stage management as well as acting and directing. And in time, just you know how networking is, one person meets another person and says, oh, why don't get this person to do it, and maybe he'll do it, he could do it. Like all of us probably, we didn't. And then it was just very lucky to do some stage management here in Austin. And then I was able to go on some national tours, and as well as a couple Broadway shows, so it was fun, and still is. I still love it. People ask, "What do you like better, directing, acting, or stage management?" I said, "All equal." I said, "I just love them all. I really do," and I love the. I should tell people, well, the playwright writes the play, the director puts the play together, but the stage manager tells the story. And I love that, because without us, without calling it and getting to the rhythm of it, the stories just don't get told. And so I kind of put that in my heart, and students come back to me and they want to get involved with it. So that's it. And what I don't like, I guess, is having to ever stop a show. I have evacuated theaters. I've stopped shows for so many reasons. And it just is not always, because it's immediate. It's never planned. It just kind of comes on you all of a sudden. And you have to have a way of dealing with those kind of situations, because it's live theater. So it's a love affair. That's all I know.
That's a great point. A lot of people might say that that's the funnest part of being a stage manager, is dealing with those kind of huge surprises. And Astrid, last but not least, Astrid Renhall.
Hi, everyone. I discovered theater when I was a junior in high school. And it started off as a performer, like many of us. And then I went on to graduate and I moved to college. I moved to Texas State in San Marcos, Texas, from Laredo, actually, just like Mia. And I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a theater teacher because my theater teacher changed my life. So I wanted to do that. And then once I got there, I didn't like the classes. I was like, I want to know more about theater. I want to get to make theater. So I switched it over to stage management and directing. And ever since then, I've just been really into stage management, and it has really changed my life. I moved to Austin in 2019. And I've been stage managing ever since. And then I got involved with Ground Floor Theater, and one thing led to another, and I'm part of the Ground Floor family, and it's just very heartwarming to be there and just to do any sort of show. Something that I love about stage managing is that moment when you're about to call the first cue, and you can feel it in the air, and you're like, we're about to go, and like things are just moving and people are getting quiet in the audience, and just that feeling of knowing that you've made something magical and you're about to tell a wonderful story. Something that I don't like, and I don't know why this was the first thing that came to my mind, is when actors don't write their blocking down. I'm like, I know I'm writing it, guys. I know I'm doing it, but please take your own notes. Like, things are changing so quickly. But yeah, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm like, here's the pencil. I will give you a pencil. I will always have pencils on me. Just write it down in your book so that you know what you're doing.
Okay, so there's so much that I want to talk about around stage management in our limited time. So here's a challenge for all of us. So this is actually, I'm just going to throw out questions to everybody. But this first question, I think, is going to be a challenge, because nobody, I would venture to even say some people in the industry that aren't stage managers don't really know the full scope of what a stage manager does, or if they had to define what a stage manager does, they'd be hard pressed to do it. So my challenge for y'all, in as succinct way as you can, is to tell people what a stage manager does. And everybody can pop in and say whatever they want.
Say, obviously, call the show. Run the rehearsal.
What do you mean, Sandy, when you say call a show, what does that mean?
Call the show is you are saying, the people that put, different people push buttons, right? For lighting cues, sound cues, scenery moving, automated scenery, or even hand push scenery. And so you're the one telling everyone when to do that by following along with the script, following along with the score, following along with the action on stage, right? You can't cue somebody to open up the hole in the floor if somebody's standing there that isn't supposed to be there, right? You have to wait till they move. So you're watching everything. You're seeing, is this going correctly? Is it not going correctly? If it's not going correctly, what do I need to do? Do we need to stop and fix it, or can we fix it on the fly? Do I just need to point it out to somebody on the stage to fix it? Or, oh, look, that actor, I did production of Annie, and at one point there was a deck of cards that just went flying and it wasn't supposed to, and the 6-year-old girl playing Annie on a stage of adults went and picked up the cards, you know. I was like, thank you, I'm so glad for you, Lindsay. None of the adults knew what to do. They're just like, oh no, there's cards all over the stage, you know. She went and picked them up. So I don't know if I got off track a little bit, but a stage manager is always watching and just trying to make the show be going the way it's supposed to. And in rehearsal, you're running the rehearsal, you're taking notes on everything, right? You're recording everything there is. What are the props? Where do they start? Where do they finish? What happens to them in between? Does the door open in or out? Does the window need to open, or can the window just be a painted on window? Like, communicating all that information to all the different departments. You're really, I feel like, the hub of the communication wheel for all the different departments that are putting the show together.
Yeah, Sandy, I was going to piggyback on that. Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa.
No, go.
I was going to piggyback on that because I agree. We act as the center of the organization as a whole. I kind of look at it, maybe if it was like a train track or something, there's all these different cars that have to go on the train track. The stage manager is acting as sometimes the conductor of that. We're linking the cars together. We're keeping things moving on track. So I think we just touch every element of the, like, the production from the beginning part to the very end. So we really become that center thread that people can communicate through. And then we also then, in turn, you know, probably one of the most things about the show, besides the director at that point, where we can also then help the performers when the show is up and running, see if they have any gaps or needs. And we also can help on the technical side of things. As Sandy said, actually cueing the show and making sure all those elements we put together in rehearsals actually go when they're supposed to go. So I like to look at us as definitely like a center part of this hub. I agree with you. And definitely where the thread keeps the train moving.
I think the two words that I like to use most were communication and organization. Those are the two things that if you're really good at, you're going to be a good stage manager. If you love detail, oh, then it's fun. If you don't love detail, then you have to learn how to do it. So communication is so important, trying to keep the horse in front of the cart. That's my biggest challenge whenever I'm working that way.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest parts for me too is the relationship aspect of like building all of that up with like the actors, because people are coming to you like kind of like what Sandy said earlier about like being the like the complaining, where people come to complain, but also they need to be able to feel comfortable to come to complain to you, right? So just building those relationships with everyone, not just the actors, but with the designers, the director, and just being, you know, just there. Like, I always like to think of it as like, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm everyone's biggest cheerleader. I'm there to make sure that everybody has what they need, and also the confidence to come and ask me what they need, and just keep that moving along and keep that like communication open. So I guess, yeah, it all comes back to communication, but yeah, relationship building is, I think, one of my biggest ones, because I want people to feel comfortable to come to me. And I think it's a big part of being able to be a stage manager and just being in the room with so many people, you know?
Yeah. If I can just tag in there, I'm sorry, I know everybody hasn't talked yet, but I'm forgetful, I might forget. And I think that what your point is, Astrid, it's trust, right? The actors have to trust you, you know, A, emotionally, that they can bring problems to you, but they also, depending on the size of the show, I mean, Lisa mentioned that I did Spider-Man. It was technically insanely large. And the actors had to trust us that they were safe. And the crew also has to trust you, because sometimes you have to tell people what to do. And if they don't trust you, then they're not going to listen to you, right? Then they're not going to value what you have to say. But there have been times where I've been backstage and I've seen, oh, wait, if we do it this way, if we turn this thing sideways, it's going to fit better. It's going to move easier. The scene change will happen quicker, whatever. If the head carpenter doesn't trust you, or, you know, at least trust that you know what you're talking about, then they're just going to keep on doing it some other way that's less efficient and less safe and less effective. So you have to build, relationships are so critical, and you have to build those with, you know, with the designers, with the crew, with the actors.
I think it's so much about that, because of that very thing. You have all these different departments working together, working towards the same goal, but they aren't necessarily talking to each other. And it's the stage manager's job to make sure that those lines of communication happen and that the trust is built across the board so that everything runs smoothly. It is not an easy job. And I think that one thing that I'm hearing from y'all is that the stage manager, you know, we always, the in Austin anyway, or at least specifically at Ground Floor Theater, when our stage manager, our tech booth is out in the middle of everybody, everybody sees the stage manager. But a lot of people think that that stage manager is really just there during the show. But it's this is a role that starts oftentimes even before rehearsals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So here's an interesting thing that I would like to talk about. There's a legendary production stage manager named Alan Hall. And I listened to a podcast that he was doing, and he was talking about the relationship between the stage manager and the director. And what I loved about this is he really succinctly laid it out what I had known in my head for a long time. But they're like, there's two different kinds of directors that a stage manager can work with. There's the director that really wants the stage manager just to make everything happen. Like, here's, I have my vision. This is what I want to do. Make it happen. And then there is the director that operates more like a partner that uses the stage manager as a creative tool, as a sounding board, as in many ways a co-equal, because as somebody here said something about, it's just that that relationship is so huge. Do y'all have anything that you want to talk about? I mean, I'd make some assumption about what kind of director you would prefer to work with, but I could be wrong. Does anybody want to be just that stage manager that makes everything work?
I think it really depends on the show and the situation. Because sometimes it's just like, oh, we're going to, you know, especially if the actors have worked together before, if it's just one of those like, hey, we're going to put this show up. It's going to be great. We're going to take it down. Real simple, up, down. Here we go. This is the vision. I want it just like it is in the how it's written. And then we'll go. And that makes it, I mean, that's a pretty easy up and down. But, you know, there's also some great value to having a director who wants to partner with you and say, hey, you know, can you look at this scene, or can you take part of the cast into this other room and run this scene? You know how it's supposed to go, and like, see if you can get them through it and make sure they got the blocking and this is working. And so that they can work on part of the show in one room and you can work part of the show in the other room. And when you come back, it's not like, what have you done to the show? It's like, oh, good. This is great. This is much tighter than it was. Excellent. So especially like when you're partnering with a director that you work and somebody that you've worked with before, sometimes you're like, well, I know what they're going for with this, and I know where this scene needs to be, so I can watch this rehearsal and know what they're going to be looking for when they come back to the scene. So sometimes that's very gratifying as well. But, you know, who doesn't love a show that you can just like, especially if it's a quick run, where you can like, oh, it's going up, and then a week of shows, and then it's down. Everybody feels great. Everything went well, super smooth.
Well, Sandy and I know a lot about that because that's the way industrials work all the time. And that's one of the things I loved about doing business theater, which was you did it once, maybe twice, and that's it, mm-hmm. and you're done. Yeah. So
a nice clean up and down. That's great.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot more pressure because then you have to get it right the first time because
exactly.
they're only doing it one time.
So exactly.
There is that. But yeah, once it's done, it's done. You don't mm-hmm. have to go back.
So is there anything, you know, I can point to my career as a stage manager, some highlights that I dealt with that make it especially rewarding to do the work that we all do. Anybody have anything that's happened to them in their stage management career that's either like said, oh, this is why I do this, or it's a funny story or something, a little antidote?
I just recently had a new one pop up. I've had a lot since I've started stage managing, like lots of good moments. I've worked on a lot of new work, and so that's been very like rewarding in that sense. I love doing new work. It's probably my favorite. But recently I just did Amy and the Orphans at Ground Floor, and we had some cast members that were diabetic, and I had never worked with diabetic actors before. So I was like, how do I help you? What makes you good in the room? And they were like, no, we don't need anything. Like, we can handle it on our own. And I was like, that wasn't the question. What do you like in the room? And they had told me about like glucose tablets, where it's like sometimes they just need a little tablet and then they're good to go. And so I went and I got some, and I had them in our kit, and it was excellent. And then at the end of the show, I just left them in the green room because Ground Floor Theater paid for them. So I was like, all right, those are yours now. Bye, guys. And one of those actors is in Parade now. And he sent me a message like during y'all's tech week being like, hey, I had a moment where I was like, I need something. And I went to the green room and the tablets you got us were still there. And so I got to use one. And so I'm better now. And thank you for that. And that made me feel really good. Because that's what it's about, you know, providing the thing that makes them get to keep doing what they like about it. And he didn't have to like take a second and a longer break. Like he was just like, he got to keep doing what he was there to do that he liked. And I tried to live by the belief of like, once you are someone's stage manager, you are their stage manager for life. Like you are always there to help them. I worked with an actor one time and then a year later her car was stalling and her battery was dead. And she called me and was like, I need you. I need something. And I went and helped her. And she was like, this is why like you're the best, is because you're a stage manager forever. And I just, that was very rewarding for me to like know that even though when we were doing the show, he didn't really need him, but then later the thing that I put in there for him was still out, like he was still available to have it. So that was mine. It was really nice.
I have one. Oh, did you want to share?
No, go ahead.
I had one. I wanted to do a feel good one, I guess, but I also have a funny one. But I did this show at Salvage Vanguard Theater, Bright Mother, and I was stage managing. I was also in it, which is wild. But I told that entire cast, if you ever need me to stage manage, let me know, because we grew really close. And someone took me up on that pretty last minute. It was a show, something fell through, and it was a one-man show that he was doing, Alan, and he called me. He's like, hey, could you help me stage manage? I said, yeah. When's the show? He goes, oh, like this week. I was like, okay, cool. I said, if you ever needed me, I would be there. And I just literally didn't even have a script when I entered. I was like, I can come by today. And I really did do that. It was such a cool experience because I felt like Batman in that moment. Like, yes, I got the call. I immediately went and helped out. And it was so cool to be able to like, oh, I built those connections, but also I felt reliable for someone and someone can trust me with their art even last minute. And that felt really, really cool. So yeah, I love moments like that where I can really lend a hand.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of have like a little glucose tablet thing. I was working on a show a few years ago that had a very mixed cast of people. And I was like restocking first aid, going through stuff, taking inventory to place an order. And I decided to order some different colored Band-Aids because all they had was like one color of Band-Aid. And I don't know if it was that week or the next week, somebody, you know, came in the office and had noticed that there was a Band-Aid that matched their skin tone. Oh. And they were like, thank you. You know, we've been running for years and we didn't have Band-Aids that matched our skin tone. And whoever did that, thank you for doing that. So that, you know, that's nice when something you do gets noticed and appreciated. So I love that. You know, I have to say, I had some moments. I know, I'm sorry, it says Robert on the screen, but I know Lisa's been calling you a different name. You talked about hating stopping the show. And I'm not to just keep talking about Spider-Man because I don't need to monopolize it, but it was a significant part of my career. And I stopped the show multiple times. The last year and a half, it was just myself and another person that called the flying and the automation. We had two people calling that show. Somebody called the lights, different stage manager, the flying and automation. And like I said, the last year and a half, it was really just two of us. So I did four shows a week and it was intense. And there was a moment where there was a Spider-Man and Goblin are flying around in the house over the audience. And Spider-Man is on, he's kind of like on like a skateboardy surfboard kind of thing, but he kept bending down. And I mean, he's attached to wires and stuff, but he keeps trying to bend down. I'm like, that's not his staging. What is he doing while he's flying around doing this aerial fight with the Green Goblin? And somehow, it's a show that moves very fast. And I don't even know what happened. I felt like my vision zoomed in on his lower part of his body because he kept reaching down. And I looked at his feet and I saw that there was a line that was over top of his toes, a line that was part of the whole flying system. And he was coming up on a part where he was going to leap off of the skateboard onto the rail of the balcony. So if that line is over his foot, it's going to be a problem. So he was bending down to try to get it, you know, where it was supposed to be. It wasn't in the right place. And as soon as I saw that, I called stop. And I mean, we were literally fractions of a second before the moment. And he, I don't know if he would have lost his toes. I don't know what would have happened, you know, if he had, because he wouldn't have been able to stop the leap because it was all automated. The lines would have just pulled him off the skateboard onto the rail. And that made me feel really good. Like, I really felt like, okay, you know, it was a pain in the butt because this was like 10 minutes before the end of the first act. And because he was over the audience, when we stopped both of them, they're hanging over the audience, and the emergency system to get them down literally brings them down into the house. So we had to empty the theater. Everybody had to go out to the lobby, and we were down for an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Then we came back, finished the first act, and then we had intermission. So the show ran really long that night. But he kept all his toes. So that made me happy.
A that win.
A thrilling moment of like, okay, good job there.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I have to tell the audience who's just listening to this, I wish they could see the Zoom that I saw, because everybody's, as you were telling that story, everybody's face was lighting up with a mixture of, oh my God, how's it going to end? Or excitement, or I understand. There's a lot of empathy among the Zoom boxes here.
And by Zoom, I mean like Zoom, like on a telephoto lens, not Zoom, like on your camera talking to people all over the country. Just for, you know, younger people that maybe don't deal with the other kind. I guess you do with the other kind of Zoom as well. And stuff, so never mind. Sorry.
And the TV show, Zoom.
Well, that's a legendary story, Sandra. Oh, sometimes just sit and come. We should just all sit around in a coffee and just shout out these crazy situations we've been into. But congratulations on surviving and staying in the business. I mean, the stories that came out of New York during that time were unbelievable. So, wow, it's so interesting to have you here in these boxes, someone who is actually in the trenches. Wow.
Yeah. And I would argue we're all in our we're all in the trenches in one way or another. And that's why I wanted a really good mix of people. Who didn't join us today was my friend Jamie, who was the production stage manager at South Coast Repertory Theater for years, which is a very large Lort theater in Long Beach. No, it's not Long Beach. It's somewhere San Diego. It's over on the West Coast somewhere. We are out of time. There's so much more that I would want to talk about, but I think I just want to sort of wrap up with one of the ideas that for those of us in Austin, the awards that we give out here for theater awards is called the B. Iden Payne Awards, and they give out an award for stage management. And I've often been very vocally kind of critical of them having a stage manager award, because my argument is that if you notice the stage manager, that means they're not all that good. So how do they adjudicate that? But one of the things, and I know when we were introducing ourselves and things that we like, a lot of us like to be in the background, but some of us who are stage managers and have egos don't necessarily like to be on the background all the time. But that is the mark of a really good stage manager. You are invisible. How does that square with your personal ego and ethics? Well, not ethics isn't the right word, but your personal ego.
I kind of wish they would get rid of it, to be personal.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about the war. I agree with you.
Right.
But just in general, do you enjoy being that invisible hero? Because you are, stage manager in my mind are the heroes, but you get no credit.
All right, I'll jump in. I'll say that I appreciate very much when a performer or a stagehand, somebody in the company says, you know, good job with that, or thank you for holding it together. I did a production a couple of years ago over the holidays this time of year, and the PSM got COVID. I was the first assistant, so he was out of the building for a week and a half. I think six women in the cast, this was Sound of Music, six women had COVID.
Oh my God.
The crew, they actually ran out of subs. you know, and they had to have the deck electrician run also doing prop cues because they were, there just was nobody else they could bring in and we were short of people, you know, and I don't need like an award. I didn't need the audience to know any of this was happening, but it's nice when the producer or the general manager, somebody says, you know what, you held it together. Like I just want, you want recognition from your company, the people you're working with, right? It's nice. And we all want to be appreciated, an award or, you know, like, I don't need the audience to know. Like you said, if the audience knows you're there, then, you know, maybe you're not
something's wrong.
Doing something the way you should be.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I think to me, like, yes, I am a person with an ego and I do love a good card or somebody calling me out and being like, you called that cue so awesome. But I think that my payout is like the relationships that I've built along the way and like all of the people that I've met. And all of the shows and the stories that I've gotten to tell, like they really have made me a better person. Like I think all of the shows that I've done have come in my life and they have taught me something very important about where I was in that moment. So yeah, I do like a little recognition and I do love all of that, but I also love the people that I work with and I love the community aspect of it. And I know that I can reach out to any of the people that I've met through our community. And I know that they would be there for me and I would be there for them in a heartbeat. So I think the community aspect is what really is what drives me to keep doing this and knowing that I have a group of people that can count on me and that I can count on.
Yes. I think that like stage managers, especially like you're in the business of people. That's what you're doing. That's what your job is the whole time is like, it's different than like coding, I guess, and still running something in the background. I think it's like similar to that, but it's not, you're not talking to the computer. You're talking to human people and flesh. And while it's like, I think a lot of the time with things like the stage management awards or whatever, I feel like it comes from like a good place where it's like, because the people that work on those shows with you want to acknowledge you because they know what it is. They're like, here, we should give you a prize. But it comes from a good place, but I would much rather just have my cast and my crew give me a little card and me put them in my book. And then when I have a particularly rough day on a different show, get to go back and remind myself that that's the reason why I like doing things, because that's when it comes back around.
Yeah. I would take a participation medal for the award. That's fine.
Yeah. You did one.
Yeah, did something. I don't need a category, but I can. I'll just be real quick. But I think I like being behind the scenes. I like being in all black and not being able to like people really know I'm there, and then looking out of the crowd and just finishing, and everyone's just has this like joy in the theater, and I just get to observe all that. So I do like kind of being a weird fly on the wall too, because I can observe so much things like happening in the theater, which is really cool. But it is very much against my personality. I do talk a lot and I usually do not wear black. I usually wear a lot of more patterns sort of deals. So I have a weird section of my closet that's just so dark and then patterns to the other side. So, but I like both of it.
Well, that's wonderful. We are so out of time. Thank you all for spending this time with us. It's going to be our little Christmas present to co-op this year, 2025. And so thank you. Keep doing all the work that y'all do. And thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air. Well, that was our Stage Manager Forum. Who you heard there was Sandy Frank, Stephanie Delk, Bob Tolaro, Valerie Johnson, Mia Reyes Gomez, and Astrid Ronhell. And I thank them very much for joining me on this. Stage managers are some of those misunderstood or little understood jobs in the theater. And again, as I say, that's my background. I do want to do a special shout out to Astrid Ronhell. Because it's my show, I get to do this. She was a production stage manager on the show that we just closed at Ground Floor Theater called Parade, which was amazing, but it was a bear. It was the biggest thing we've ever done. Pretty big musical for our little theater. So special shout out to Astrid, who did just an amazing job. And I will say, when she was talking about that really special feeling when somebody mentions a cue that they called just right, Astrid had a boatload of those in our show. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to hear a song called Places, Please. And this is that's what the stage manager says right before the show. This is from a show called My 80-Year-Old Boyfriend. We'll be right back.
Places, please. Gotta hear the sound.
We are places, back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Lisa on 91.7 KOOP. So again, thank you for listening to that stage manager's forum. Next year, or next show, which is on New Year's, we're going to hopefully have a director's forum. Similar situation, but with directors. I do want to take a moment to remind everybody the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, underwriters, staff, volunteers, or anybody else. It's just my crazy opinions about things. I did want to mention, I don't think we talked about it last week, and I'm sure everybody has heard about it. Our current president, God bless his heart, is attempting and has actually written it up on the building, renamed the White House. I'm sorry. Well, he's probably going to do that as well, but he renamed the Kennedy Center to the Trump Kennedy Center. And I just, that just burns me up and makes me really, really mad. And it's just another story that I heard is similar. Similar ideas of what's happening with one side of our government versus the others. This was in the New York Times a couple of days ago, written by Michael Paulson. The headline is Playwrights Horizons is sued over discounts to people of color. Bottom line is somebody from an organization called the American Alliance for Equal Rights, who sues companies for basically helping underprivileged or underrepresented people, is suing Playwrights Horizon for offering a discount to BIPOC folks. The language for their discount was, quote, "For this BIPOC night performance, we welcome folks who are Black, Indigenous, or people of color to use the code BIPOC night to unlock discount seats." The plaintiff in that suit, Kevin Lynch, who is white, he describes himself as a composer, producer, and music director. He bought two tickets to Parade for $90. He bought two tickets to a show called Practice for $90. The BIPOC folks could buy a $39 ticket. But this is not anything that's unusual, and it just makes me boiling mad that they make an issue of this. I don't have any time to talk about it, so I'm not gonna. We're just going to jump to today in theater history. And as you might imagine, not a lot of things opened. But in 2001, A Christmas Carol opened on Christmas Eve Day. But we have birthdays. Ricky Martin, Jerry Davidson, Daniel Durant, and Carol Haney. And Carol Haney has done things such as The Pajama Game. And so let's go to another little break and listen to Carol Haney sing Pajama Game. Hernando's Hideaway from Pajama Game. Okay, folks, we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Lisa. So we're coming up to the end of our Christmas show, which wasn't very Christmassy, and I did that on purpose. Nicole is out celebrating somewhere, probably in the wilds of New Jersey. Coming up next, as always, we will learn about new things from Tracy Schultz, who will talk to us about what's new. Again, next week, we hope to have another forum, and that's going to be directors. And we had such a good time talking about directors today. I did want to say one little news article that I forgot to mention. I always love it when I see local people in our national theater press. Kirkland, who is one of the artistic directors of the Rude Mex, is got a show opening in New York. The show is called The First Line of Dante's Inferno. And the log line is, it is a surprisingly funny, feral path into nature following the story of Anne Espinosa, who sets off into the remote corners of a state forest in search of her missing sister, Carol. Carol left her whole life behind, but seems to not to want to be found. Two unusual park rangers show up and complicate the matters. There are strange noises in the woods. Is someone out there? Told in shifting perspective, the play reveals what can happen when you really let yourself go. This is going to happen in New York, featuring the actors Kelly Overby, Evan Sibley, and Greg Surter. And I thought I had dates in here, but I don't see them. But anyway, and that is a Kirk Lynn show. So good for him. We're going to leave with Nicole's show, 12 Days to Christmas from She Loves Me. It would not be Christmas if we didn't do that song. So folks, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Here's the 12 Days to Christmas.
12 days to Christmas, 12 days to Christmas, plenty of time to do your Christmas shopping. These are the people who shop in time, plenty of time. These are the people with time to spare who shop at their convenience. 12 days to Christmas, look at the way they do their Christmas shopping.